Greg breathes heavily, while the pain from Carol's first blow is increasing. He tries to get his hands on his balls, but his mother, Julia, holds his arms in a tight grip behind his back. "Now come on, honey. We're only getting started. You'll have to suffer a lot more pain before we're through with your punishment," Julia says. Carol closes the window. "Just in case it gets a little loud, the neighbor should not hear this," she explains. She gives her nephew a few more seconds to recover. Then she raises the spatula over her head again. Greg's eyes widen in fear. Helplessly, he watches his aunt smashing down the nutcracker to his left testicle with full force for the second time. Carol's aim is perfect, because she has beaten her own son's balls very often before he became the polite and well-behaved young man he is today. Greg coughs. Instinctively, he tries to get his hands to his testicle again, but his mother tightens her grip on his arms behind his back, making his effort futile. "Resisting us will only make it worse for you," she says, winking at her sister. Once again, Carol gives her nephew some seconds to recover from the excruciating pain that starts in his left ball and slowly spreads to his intestines. Her eyes meet those of her nephew, which seem to send a silent plea to stop this ordeal. Carol likes the boy very much, but from her experience with her own son, she knows that cruel punishment is the best for Greg in the long run. "You're doing good so far," she assures him. He avoids looking at the spatula, which Carol raises for the third time now. With a slight hiss, it comes down, hitting Greg's sensitive left ball with extreme force at exactly the same spot as before. "3, the boy croaks. This time, he makes no effort to grab his aching ball, having learned that his arms cannot escape his mom's steel-hard grip. As before, the indescribable pain slowly crawls from his left testicle into his lower body. The skin of his ball sack has started to turn purple already. Greg breathes heavily, his knees tremble, and he makes a step back, his scrotum sliding from the kitchen counter. "This is far from being over, young man," his mother hisses at him from behind his back. She shoves him forward while his aunt grabs his ball sack and places it back on the counter. "If you keep doing this, we might have to nail your ball sack to the counter," Carol says mockingly. Greg looks at her in horror, but when she winks at her sister, he realizes she's only joking. He breathes heavily, trying in vain to block out the pain and steel himself for the next blow. Carol raises the nutcracker again and brings it down at a slightly different angle this time. 4. Greg stammers, taking a deep breath and starting to sob heavily. His eyes well up, tears beginning to flow down his young face. Julia feels his body starting to shake. "Please, Mom. I can't stop. Stand it anymore." He makes another effort to escape further punishment. "We do this for your own good," Julia replies. "Asking me to spare you from punishment is most disrespectful. You will therefore receive 2 more blows from each of us. End of discussion." Realizing his mother will show no mercy, Greg is finally willing to accept the inevitable. His crying has stopped for the moment. He lowers his head so he does not have to see his aunt raising her arm with the spatula for the 5th time. Once again, the cooking tool smashes into the youth's left ball with tremendous power. counts. He takes deep breaths, which help him tolerate the terrible pain that emanates from his testicles into his lower body. He tries to detach himself from the excruciating pain by thinking about what he will do once this ordeal is over. Then he remembers that, according to his aunt, her son often got sick and had to stay in bed after taking a beating to his balls. That unpleasant thought brings him back to the grim reality and to the cruel punishment that he has to endure by the hands of his mom and his aunt. "He's getting accustomed to the pain," Carol tells his mother. "That will make it easier for him." "Yes, he's a brave boy," Julia replies. The nutcracker precisely hits its mark again. "Six." Greg whimpers, pressing his teeth together, closing his eyes, and grimacing from the stinging pain. "Almost halfway through," Julia says. "Good boy. I knew you can take it. Since this is my last one, I'll make it a little harder," Carol announces for her final blow. Greg could not imagine the next blow being any harder than the ones he's already received. But he is wrong. Carol lifts the spatula over her head and brings it down so swift and so hard and resolutely as if the target was not her nephew's tortured left testicle, but an insect she wants to crush. "7. Greg counts through his clenched teeth. He feels like his ball sack has been smashed into pulp, but he has no reason to worry. From her experience with her own son, Carol knows exactly how far she can go with the beating without causing any permanent damage to Greg's testicles. Greg cringes and shivers, feeling as if a burning liquid flowed from his balls into his stomach. Once again, tears well up in his eyes, and he breathes heavily. "Your turn, dear sister," Carol says. Julia pats Greg on the back, trying to comfort and encourage him at the same time. Carol hands her the spatula. "I think we should renew the duct tape," she says. "It might fall off again any minute because Greg is sweating so much from the pain." Carol takes the tape roll, cuts off a much larger piece of tape this time, and attaches it to Greg's cock and rolls it around her nephew's slim waist. Then she stops behind Greg, grabs his arms behind his back, and pushes her nephew against the kitchen counter. Julia adjusts Greg's balls on the table so that they once again become a perfect target for the spatula. "Try to hit his ball with the exact center of the spatula," Carol advises to her sister. "If you hit him with the edge of the nutcracker, he might bleed more than necessary." "I'll do my best," Julia replies. Greg raises his eyes and looks into his mother's face, as if to make sure that it really is her who executes this terrible punishment. When he sees her lifting the spatula, he closes his eyes, not wanting to watch the nutcracker come down onto his right ball. Greg's left testicle, which has turned almost completely purple by now, has become a little numb from the blows it has received, as if its pain receptors have partially shut down. His right ball, on the other hand, still has its natural skin color, and it is not accustomed to the pain yet. Julia's aim is perfect. The broad part of the spatula hits Greg's right ball exactly with its center. Greg takes a quick, deep breath when he feels the pain, which seems to explode in his right ball and then creep slowly into his intestines. "8. Comes Greg's belated count when his mother looks expectantly into his eyes. "You better not forget counting. I don't want to beat your balls any more often than necessary," Julia warns her son.
"Yes, Mom,"
the sobbing boy replies, tears flowing down his face. Julia lifts the spatula above her head and brings it down on her son's right ball with full force again.
fine.
Greg counts very quickly this time, afraid he will get more additional blows if the counting takes him too long. As before, Julia gives him time to take in the extreme pain she has just inflicted to his testicle. Then she raises the nutcracker quickly, smashes it down with all her strength once again. This time her aim is less than perfect, and she hits her son's ball with only the edge of the spatula. The pain Greg has to endure is not stronger than before. A more terrible pain that's caused by the first 9 blows is hard to imagine anyway. But the contact with the edge of the spatula causes a small rupture in the skin of Greg's ball sack, which begins to bleed slightly. So it's probably not the pain from the blow, but the view of the bleeding that makes Greg shriek loudly. Nevertheless, he is able to go on counting. 10! A few seconds later, Greg's sister Sarah, who has been alarmed by his shrill cry, comes running into the kitchen. Obviously, she has been listening to loud music from her smartphone. Otherwise, she would have heard her brother's other cries of pain. Sarah stops in her tracks when she sees her naked brother, standing at the kitchen counter, with his left testicle colored purple by Carol's blows, a thin trail of blood flowing across his right ball. "We are teaching your brother some respect," Julia answers to Sarah's unspoken question. With wide eyes, Sarah registers every detail of the strange scene. She seems to be fascinated, but she also feels pity for her brother. "Brian used to be just as wild and unruly as Greg," Carol explains to her niece. "Beating his testicles proved to be the only way to make a real impression on him. I was very successful in changing his behavior. So your mother asked me for help with Greg. That's why I'm here today, and we're almost through with his first lesson."
"Will there be any more lessons necessary?" Sarah asks.
"I'm afraid so," Carol replies. "Boys will be boys, and it took me several years to turn Brian into the well-behaved young man he is today. Although he was never as wild as your brother," she added.
Can I watch?" Sarah asks.
"Of course, my dear," Julia answers. "The way he behaved to you was the reason for this first punishment. Okay, let's go on with it. Now you can show your little sister what a brave boy you are, Greg," she says mockingly. Then she lifts the nutcracker and brings it down on Greg's right ball. This time, aim is perfect again.
11!
The boy dutifully continues counting. He breathes heavily, trying to ease the pain this way. His right ball is turning purple already, but it does not quite match the color of the other testicle yet. His knees bend slightly, and he looks as if he will sink into the floor, but with the help of his aunt, who is still standing behind him, holding his arms tightly, he is able to stay upright. Sarah stands with her mouth open, fascinatedly witnessing a ball busting for the first time in her life. She watches as her mother raises the spatula again and strikes it down onto Greg's right ball with all her strength.
12!
Greg counts, his face turning pale. A heavy shudder runs through his body. He bends forward. A retching sound comes from deep within his throat. Carol immediately knows what's going to happen. She helps him reach the sink. Bent forward, he starts to vomit the contents of his stomach into the sink. Carol turns on the water, flushing the puke before its stink can fill the kitchen.
"I think he had enough," Sarah says. Being a sensitive girl, she feels great pity for her brother now.
Greg silently looks into his mother's face, hoping she will spare him the last 2 blows. Julia knows exactly what he is thinking, but she also knows she has to be strict and relentless to turn him into a well-behaved young man. "We won't stop so close to the finish line," she says, seeing the unspoken consent on her sister's face. She gives Greg 3 more minutes to recover,
and wiped the rest of the puke from his mouth with a Kleenex. Then she silently points to the kitchen counter. Greg knows what is expected from him. When he stands at his former position, his mother grabs his ball sack and places it back on the counter, getting some blood on her fingers, although the slight bleeding has stopped now. Julia raises the spatula above her head, smashing it down onto Greg's right testicle with full force once again. Greg coughs. 13! He takes quick deep breaths. Tears keep running down his face. Almost done, baby, his mother said. Let's make the last one a memorable one. She grins a little as she raises the nutcracker for the final blow and smashes it down onto her son's abused right ball, which by now has turned just as purple as the left one. Greg whimpers. 14! Carol pats her nephew on the shoulder. I told you you would survive, she says mockingly. Julia hugs her son and gives him a kiss on the cheek. I am proud of you. You were very brave. But we're not quite done yet. To make sure the wounds on your ball sack don't get inflamed or otherwise infected, we have to treat them with iodine tincture. Let's go to the bathroom. We better help him get there, Carol says. It's very difficult to walk after a severe beating to the balls. At least, that's what Brian told me several times. Carol is obviously right. Greg feels great pain in his testicles every time they touch his legs. To avoid this, he spreads and bends his legs a little. It looks quite funny as he slowly walks towards the kitchen door. Sarah giggles. Stop it, Sarah! Julia shouts at her daughter, but she has to suppress a giggle herself when she sees how awkwardly Greg moves. She follows him and places her hand under his left arm to support him. Carol does the same with his right arm. They walk along the hallway and enter the bathroom. Sit on that stool and spread your legs, honey, Julia orders her son. Greg complies. Julia opens the medicine cabinet and takes out a bottle of iodine tincture, a sterile cloth, and a bandage. She cowers in front of Greg. Could you please hold his penis out of the way for me? She asks her sister. Carol squats down beside her when she grabs her nephew's cock and pulls it upward. Greg winces and starts to draw in quick, deep breaths. Julia opens the iodine bottle and pours a generous amount of the liquid onto the sterile cloth. Then she grabs Greg's balls with her left hand, letting the ball sack rest in the palm of her hand. The bleeding has stopped. The skin of the scrotum has lost its natural color and turned purple. How long will it stay that way? Julia asks her sister. Several days, Carol replies, but the aching will remain for some days longer. Julia starts to rub the iodine into the skin of her son's ball sack. He sobs loudly every time she applies pressure to his balls. Julia does a very thorough job, completely ignoring Greg's continual whimpering. Finally, she wraps the bandage around Greg's scrotum several times and attaches it with two bandage clips. That's absolutely perfect, Carol said. You should change it once a day. I'll come over and help if you need me. I think Sarah can help me with this, Julia responds, looking to her daughter, who has watched her brother's medical treatment with great interest. Do you feel up to it? Julia asks. Yes, no problem, Mom. I wouldn't like to beat him, though. I know, darling. I would never ask you to do that. If it becomes necessary again to punish Greg, I think I'll be able to do it alone, just like Carol has done with Brian all these years. It's no big deal, really, Carol interjects. Basically, the only difference is that you have to bind his arms behind his back. Or you can use a humbler. That's a wooden device that forces a boy into a very uncomfortable position and makes his balls very vulnerable and accessible. I use one whenever I have to punish Brian. He really hates it. But when I'm at home, you know, you can call me any time. I'll gladly help you discipline Greg if it keeps him from causing trouble. You're the best, Carol, Julia replies and gives her sister a hug. I think you should go to bed now, Greg, she addresses her son. Sleeping accelerates the healing process. That's right, Carol agrees, but make sure to sleep on your back. I will, Aunt Carol, the boy replies meekly, leaving the bathroom, slowly walking to his bedroom. Sarah also leaves to go to bed. Please tell me more about that humbler, Julia asks her sister. Then they both start to giggle. The end.